Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny podcast. Joining me today is Fran Mirabella.
What's up, everybody?
Fran, did you have a good week?
I had a pretty good week, yeah. I'm back at work, you know, I was sick for a few days.
Yeah.
So I've got a special show voice today. It's nice. It's nice and gravelly.
Well, for your special show voice, we also brought a special guest.
Awesome. Who might that be?
We brought Jake.
Hey.
Hey, Jake.
Hey.
Jake, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right, well, I go under the alias of Isle of Noobs on the interwebs. That's two eyes. I'm a member of Invigorate Gaming. And if you want to find me on the internet, you can go to twitter.com/Isle of Noobs with two eyes. And then if you want to find the clan, go to invigoratedgaming.com. That's definitely the best place to go.
Who doesn't know Invigorate?
I'm sure some of our viewers might not. So, Jake, why would people know the name Invigorate? What are you guys known for?
Well, we're known for getting the world's first title for both Vault of Glass Hard and for Crota's End on Normal. Mm-hmm. And if you are B-seen in Destiny, we also just won the first ever Destiny Control Tournament. It was unofficial. Bungie didn't actually know about it, mm-hmm. but it was there.
Nice.
Saw that. How many people are in the clan in total?
We have 42 or 43, somewhere around there.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Invigorate, INV, is your abbreviation, right?
Yeah.
What did you guys do to prep for Vault and Crota? Like, how do you get ready for something like that?
Okay, so I went to the raid team for this answer. Mm-hmm. And just to clear it up, I'm not on the team that cleared the Vault or Crota first. So I went straight to them for the answer for you guys. And I have a quote. So LT John 5, who is also the leader of the clan, quotes this. He says, "Being mentally prepared and knowing what to expect were keys to our success. We speculated all scenarios that we may have run into and already had a game plan on how to overcome the objective." And he says, also, the chemistry between the team was a big thing, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'd imagine. You know, that's where you definitely lose time in Vault, is like disagreements or why don't we do this? And, you know, you got to have clear leadership and, yeah, the right chemistry.
So here's the big question. Does everybody have like a specific role? Like, is there one guy who's like, you need to be the best at sword bearer? Okay, you need to be the best at sniping knights.
Not necessarily. Off the world's first titles, we have one guy who usually takes the relics every time for those teams. But in general, the whole team is good at doing everything. They can do whatever they want.
Okay. So, next question. House of Wolves. We all know it's coming. What are you guys doing to get ready for House of Wolves?
So, obviously, the mentality part.
So, I can steal your ideas, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a race. We've seen you guys streaming, too, before. Mm-hmm. And other than the mentality stuff, some good stuff to do before you try and do this, the raid races, is you want to max out on three characters, all your glimmer, max out all your Crucible and Vanguard marks, because all that armor is going to be leveled up. So you could buy that stuff and level it up quickly, like after the update. Mm-hmm. And then you also want to have 10 bounties on every like all your three characters.
10 5,000 bounties.
Yeah, so that you can level up your armor really fast. And actually, that was one of the keys to success for the Crotazan normal. Yep, yep. One of our guys who wasn't part of the raid team, he's actually a seventh member if you looked at the picture of us completing it first. Mm-hmm. And he leveled his guy up to 31, I believe. Mm-hmm. So then he jumped in as Swordbearer and did more damage to Crota versus a level 30. So that's where we somehow pulled that off.
Yeah, I noticed that when, like everyone was just struggling to try to just do it, and then people realized they had to circle back, and then some people were like, crap, I need experience, and that's where when people had the stuff you mentioned, that's they made a huge difference.
Well, the thing he did, though, is he had three of the same character type, when he went in, and he had, he had all those bounties, and all that stuff, all the marks on all three characters, so he was able to buy everything he needed immediately. You could actually do that on one character. Yep. You could buy all the gear you need. I'm ready for that. but I don't have three Warlocks or three Titans.
I know someone who might.
So, do you? Do you run
that's
three?
What the third one's going to be. So, I haven't talked about it, but everyone's like, what are you going to do next? And I'm like, I want to do a Titan, but I'm going to recycle a Warlock is what's going to happen.
Okay.
You heard it here first, like anybody cares.
You better start stacking everything up first.
Now, for sure. I got time.
Jake, are you doing anything to prep personally?
Well, obviously everything that I've said. We have more than one team that goes for it, but the team that's got it twice is usually the one that obviously comes in first.
Yeah.
But I do have two Hunters, and I made a Titan in preparation just in case. Titans also help with Crota's End for the Boomers, so hopefully the Titan comes in handy.
Cool.
Yeah. What about weapons? Do you think leveling all your weapons is going to be important? Because you don't know what they're going to throw at you. I think weapons with specific buffs, like the health regen on Red Death and stuff like that, will be important. But I don't know if something like Pocket Infinity is going to be super important.
Right. Yeah, I personally feel like at this point, you should have a pretty good mix, right, of like the elemental damage across each type of weapon. And all that's maxed out. And... yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like most people have a pretty good weapon mix, but it's a good point. Like, if you haven't leveled up a scout, for example, you know, you probably should, because for all you know, you need, like, a scout and a sniper combo for something they're going to throw at you. Mm-hmm. And you might be in another situation where you're like, man, like, I just need, like, you know, a solar shotgun, which I don't have, for example. I don't even know if there are any. There are. Actually, there are. I have a two to the morgue now that I mention it. But anyway, I think that's where you need to think about it, because there just might be stuff that comes at you in the next... raid that, you know, you just don't expect. That being said, we all believe it's on Earth, right? You could probably start doing some math of the type, like arc damage.
I don't know if it'll be on Earth. I don't know about that.
Yeah. You, okay.
I don't think it'll be on Earth. Right. House of Wolves. I mean, they hang out there.
Wolves. Earth. That's what I guess that's why I jumped to that conclusion.
We got one Venus moon. It could be on Mars. You have that whole gate you go through.
It's true. It's going to be Mars or Earth. I don't know. I mean, do you really want to talk about that right now? I didn't want to derail us because I'm exceptionally good at that.
Yeah, I don't think Titans can go wrong with Helm of Sam 14, blind bubbles, you know.
You need good, and maybe that's something to ask about. Like, how do you deal with getting the right mix of players? Because do you wait, is that why you sort of have so many team members, Jake? Because, like, do you have a situation where you might have six people that go for it and someone is like, I got to run my other character type and you know you can depend on them? Mm-hmm. Is that part of the strategy?
I think the team that's completed it twice has a pretty diverse set of characters. I think most of them have like a Warlock, a Titan, or a Hunter. Mm-hmm. So if they ever have to switch, they usually just switch like themselves. But as for all the other teams, it's just the same. Like everyone has their own characters. Everyone's set to be like some kind of player. Like you do this, you do this, so that we know like what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it seems like you got to balance that out with, like you said, it sounds like you don't. Do you agree that you need maybe somebody who has three of one character type, Jake? Or do you think that's a bad strategy?
No, that's definitely a good strategy because that guy could level his stuff up like more than anybody else. Because you can move that set armor for like your hunter, for instance.
Yeah.
Over to your other hunter and level it up with those bounties too.
Okay.
So yeah, that is a good idea.
It sounds like you're saying you need at least one person who's done that as part of your raid team.
I don't know though, because Bungie said they're going to be more mindful about respecting the amount of time you've invested. So I don't think they're just going to let the vendors sell all new gear. I don't think they're going to do that this time.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
That was a mistake.
But it doesn't...
And in my opinion, that was a mistake with the last piece of DLC.
Right. So, but to the point you guys made before, like if you get that glove drop or chest drop, a new piece of raid gear, which is going to be higher level, you now are in a situation to like, boom, super quickly, you know, level that up. And you're increasing your chances to get it, you know? So... As you repeat things, you know, you have someone who can switch stuff out and they're increasing their chance to get that armor drop. Yeah. I mean, that's why I do it. I love playing as a warlock. People are like, don't you get bored? Yeah. I'm like, no, my time in the game is an investment. The last thing I want to do is have two characters that I'm pissed off that I don't have the chess piece for. I'm just not in a state of mind right now that I want to do that. So,
yeah,
to each their own, though.
This is really fun. This has got me really excited for House of Wolves.
I know. going
into that raid for the first time, not knowing what to expect, you know, figuring it out and moving forward. Figuring out the bridge for the first time was one of the most fun moments I've ever experienced in a game.
Yeah, unfortunately, I had to show up a little late. I was, like, traveling and busy at the time. I hope... Yeah, Bungie, can you just release it at, like, more like 10 in the morning or something instead? Instead of, like, right, it went on at, like, 1 a.m. last time.
It was 11.
11 p.m.
Hard mode was 11.
11 p.m., though, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean...
No, a.m. It was during the day.
Yeah, it was 1 p.m., I think.
Oh,
yeah.
I was at work. That explains it. Anyway.
I was playing Destiny at my desk.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to move on. Bungie had some cool updates this week.
Sure did.
Fran, why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
Sure, yeah. Where did you put the notes on here? I got them off the top of my head. I mean, the first one is the locking your weapons from keeping them from being dismantled. Yeah,
so the story we ran was about the PvP stuff, but this little thing that they're adding where you can... So if you didn't read the update, you can now lock your exotic weapons so they can't be dismantled or, like, thrown away, basically. Yep. You can't accidentally throw away your stuff anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because they address it. They're like, sounds simple, right? And actually, they did go to the team, and it wasn't too hard for them to add a lock, right? So they got a little icon on there. There's a way to do it. You press in the right analog stick, I believe, to lock it. It's cool. Yeah. Smart. Then they said when you kind of start putting stuff in the vault and syncing with the servers, they're like, oh, that's where it was a little more challenging. So that's kind of what took the time. And I think they try to address that a lot when they do their updates, is helping us understand, like, why is this taking forever? They're listening, right? So I thought it was smart that they put it in that context. But yeah, oh, I'm so happy about that. There's been times when I accidentally have it like sitting on another character, like Praetus timepiece for a while. I thought that I like...
Well, that's not
actually
an exotic.
That's right. You can't lock non-exotics. I just realized that when I said it. So you can only lock exotics, but still, same thing. Like I've been nervous sometimes that I've done it. But you'd have to be pretty drunk, too, I think, to dismantle it. It takes, like, a long time.
Now it does. I think before you could just press it and would go.
No, I mean, they fixed that a long time ago.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying at one time, it was pretty easy to make that mistake. But, or, like, say, buy the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Don't judge people is what I'm saying, Bran.
Well, wait,
some of us have accidentally bought things we don't want.
Well, you can buy things on accident. You can't dismantle them that easy. So, actually, that's a good question. Maybe, Jake, we should ask you that since you're the guest. Do you think it was the right move to only allow you to lock exotics? You know, did they address what was needed?
I think maybe they did it so that you can only lock exotics because they're a bit rarer. I've gotten like so many legendaries that are the same out of like engrams or out of the Nightfall that maybe they just didn't think it's worth it. But as for locking exotics, I'm really happy because now I can lock my Galhorn and it will never ever go anywhere. And then that's Galhorn's my baby, so yeah.
I think it's kind of everybody's baby. But like, what about something like Praetorian Foil?
Yeah,
an extremely rare drop from Vault of Glass. What if you got that and you accidentally dismantled?
No, yeah. As I said it, I realized I'm like, wait, I was so excited, and then I realized when I said it, like, no, why is it just exotics? Mm-hmm. Like a rarity is a rarity. And not just because the Cryptarch says, oh, that's a rare piece. Like, meaning I know what's rare to me. And I have, for example, I always talk about the the Purifier 7 that I love. It got the Feeding Frenzy. You know, you when you kill someone, you get quick reload. It's an awesome perk for a fusion rifle. That's awesome. That's one of my babies. And now I'm like, oh, I can't use this lock. Yeah. So I always feel bad saying it. I'm like, thank you, Bungie, but yeah. Try again, please, because that's really important to me. I'm super nervous about losing that stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's the stuff I burn down more. You know, when you think about it, like logically, I'm way less likely to accidentally burn an exotic, right? I mean, you get one from a Nightfall occasionally or occasionally from drop, but you rarely get them.
It's bright yellow.
And it's bright yellow.
And it takes an hour to dismantle.
Way more often am I breaking down legendaries. And here's the real kicker. I'm breaking down duplicates. I think that's actually where they were trying to probably address it, is the duplicates, because that's where you could get confused if you're like in a rush. But especially for legendaries, you know. Now I'm a little bummed because I just went through this a few times. Like I got a new coiled hiss pulse rifle with that perk for Feeding Frenzy. And I had to like make sure I wanted to get rid of my old one and keep the new one.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'd love to see it on legendaries. I guess it's more of a wish than a complaint. How about that?
So
spun it into something positive.
So if you could lock two legendaries, only two.
Oh gosh.
Which two would you pick? Jake, do you have some in mind?
Okay, Black Hammer.
Oh yeah, God.
I've only gotten one of those ever.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose that. And I think Fatebringer, because that's pretty rare too. Also, and I've only gotten one. So
I don't think I've ever gotten a secondary Fatebringer ever. I would probably have to go with Fatebringer. And you said Black Hammer. That's the one I'd choose. But originally I was thinking I really like Vision of Confluence. I know it's not that good, but just that auto fire. I wish there were more auto fire scout rifles.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll say. What do you got, Fran?
This is a hard question, Destin. How fun of you to recommend this.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah. The Purifier 7 for sure. I don't know why. I love the void fusion that it is. It's great in the Crucible and in single player. So I love that. The other one that I really thought through are the ones you mentioned that I don't have, so I can't do that. It's going to be Word of Crota, actually. Hunger of Crota, the rocket launcher, because I have only gotten that drop once, and I got it early, and now that you say all this, I'm like still waiting for Black Hammer, so I've been happy with that.
I use it
all the time.
You have to run it on normal to get Black Hammer. You know that, right?
Did not know that.
You can get it on hard, but they're
on hard?
Yes. You're more likely to get primaries on hard and secondaries and heavies on normal.
Well, that explains it, you know, because I mean...
And I found out Hawkmoon drops on vault normal
more
often than vault hard. It drops on both. It drops on both, but the stories... So when you guys tweet at me and tell me how you get your Hawkmoons and stuff like that, I listen and I'm like, all right, so there's a high percentage of people that got it on vault normal from Gorgon Chest.
But wait, that's what I want to ask. Jake, do you believe this? Is this like... You know,
this is one of our superstitions.
Are these facts or are these just myths?
Yeah, the superstitions.
Like, do you believe Hawkmoon drops more frequently on normal and Black Hammer more frequently on normal?
No, that's a fact.
That's
Black
Hammer.
Yeah, Black Hammer drops more frequently on normal.
Yeah.
But as for Hawkmoon, I'm also missing it, just so everybody knows.
Every week I get to be like, yes.
But I don't think it drops more frequently anywhere. I think it's just random. But I do have a superstition, if you guys want to hear that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, so you guys talked about the Vog chest, and if you shot it or whatever...
You power it up.
Powered it up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was missing the Galahorn for the longest time. Like, I've had it for, like, 3 weeks. That's why it's my baby. But, so, I think shooting it with the Galahorn powers it up to get you a Galahorn.
Really? Wait, you really believe this?
It got me a Galahorn. Like, I wish I would have saved the video, but I didn't. But it got me a Galahorn.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. Like, you want to believe. And it works, you know. And there's someone who sent out on the Facebook group the same thing. It was like, confirm, charging up the chest works. Because somebody got, you know, the Galahorn by shooting it, period. You know, but I mean, there's no way it has any effect. But I will say, the more we talk about it, this is the type of Easter eggs that could show up. You know, like, for all you know, they're working on something small like this that that might actually work, just to mess with us, because they've done that before, you know.
Mm-hmm. Before we go on to the next topic, I'm just looking at something here on our Facebook group. Yeah, let's plug our Facebook group really quick. Fireteam Chat on Facebook. There is a link in the post, so you can join our group. And we held a contest last week to see who can complete a strike in the fastest amount of time. We got a lot of entries. They just did the screenshot thing. They weren't able to send a video. And I think we have a winner. We'll talk about them in a little bit.
Cool.
So let's talk about Bungie's next update really quick, Fran.
The ammo spawns?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so they've been talking about for a while, like, ammo spawn patterns and, you know, how heavy works and all that. But now they've thrown out special ammo is pretty big on the list. Mm-hmm. And that really the shotgun violence especially, right, which we've all have to suffer still, is it's a big issue. You have a limitless supply of shotgun ammo or sniper ammo or whatever it is. So
You mean because they
keep popping
up? But
what I mean is they pop up, so you never feel like you got to go that far to get special ammo. So
you start with four rounds on your secondary. My invective starts with four rounds.
Yeah, so let's see if I remember everything. It's special is going to be redistributed to be less frequent, and it's not going to give you as much rounds with each pickup. Something they did to offset this, both with heavy and special ammo, is the radius is bigger for your team pickup, which is good. So that's a perk, but it's going to be less frequent. So you really got to plan when you're picking up special now on top of heavy. And it's just really going to change the game, I think. I'm very curious to see if everyone's happier or there's going to be new complaints. And it's always – I love it because, like, when they buffed Pulse and people went back to shotguns because of the fusions thing, like, it changed the game, and now it's kind of annoying. It's weird because you always could have used shotguns like that, but people got, you know, pushed towards it, and now it's annoying.
Oh, shotguns and PvE are ridiculous now. They are amazing.
Oh, PvE, they're amazing. Yeah. I know I was saying because of the fusion nerfing as well as some of the other choices, people were pushed more back to shotguns, right? Because they were using fusions more.
I still get killed with fusions all the time.
I do. I use fusions all the time. But meaning I see much more shotgun violence. But this is really going to address that. But I'm curious what new gameplay that has. And actually, it really gets you thinking about your primary weapon when you think about it. I really lean on that Purifier 7 that I mention all the time. It's just the fast void fusion with a high impact. Praetorian foil is also great. Now, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm going to run out like I will with heavy.
Jake, what do you think about this? Has it changed your loadout at all?
It probably won't change my loadout, but honestly, I've noticed that Crucible is kind of a shotgun fest versus, like, some people use snipers and stuff, but most of the time I see myself using shotguns, so I hope that it kind of makes me rely a bit more on my primaries and, like, stop using the shotgun because I feel like I use it way too much. And
I love my invective so much.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of the major complaints with PvP is that it's littered with shotguns and, like, just too much special ammo. So I'm glad they kind of touched on that.
I think it's smart.
Fran, next topic?
Yeah, so the next one is a vanity play. Pretty interesting. You can now wear your helmets in the tower.
My helmet will be on all the time. I don't think the character models, you can't even really see them anyway, but you look sweet in your helmet.
You do. I mean, it's definitely, you know, just look at, like, the helmets that you get. They're so rare.
The design,
Like, I still love Heisen's Vengeance, or Heisen, or however you say it, from Vault for Warlock. It's just awesome. And the really, like, devilish, you know, helmet for the Warlock is also pretty cool. But the fact that you can't show them kind of sucks. But now you have an option, because I do like showing faces as well. So, as some of you know, I have what I call my casual tower gear. So now it'll kind of be interesting to mix and match. And that's where we get back to having, I think, a desire to also be able to just do more with shaders and more with mixing armor around, because your look is important. You know, you play a game this long. So I think it's really cool. What do you guys think?
I'm going to miss your Christopher Walken Awoken friend.
But you're assuming I'm wearing a helmet now. It depends on my mood is what I'm saying. You know?
Yeah.
I got this warlock with, like, this swoosh of white hair. They call him Christopher Walken.
What about you, Jake? You going to wear your helmet or no?
I think half of the time I probably will. Like, I like the update. I'm gonna be wearing my Mask of the Third Man around everywhere. But I think sometimes I'll probably take it off because I feel like when I have my helmet off in the tower, it's like my guardian's taking a break or whatever. He's taking a break from all the battling and just, like, relaxing in the tower.
So that's what I'm talking about. You got to kick back. It gets sweaty in the helmet.
Yeah.
You got to rinse it out occasionally, spray some Febreze in there. Yeah, so I'm only going to wear it sometimes.
I find it interesting that you guys have thought about it that much. Like, oh, I'm going to have it on and off, and sometimes I'll take it off. Yeah. Like, on Thursdays, I don't want to wear my helmet. I just want to strut my stuff.
You know, when I'm buying some Zerm, like, what's up, man? I want to, you know,
you want to
sport something real nice.
Flirt with the exos.
Exactly. No, I think it's cool.
Hey, human, you know, how's it going?
Yeah, I mean, it does give you more things, you know, just represent options. Yourself in the tower. And you got to remember, too, some people don't have as strong of community and friendship. So to them, when they're in the tower, like, they're alone. And they are meeting people and inviting people to stuff. So it's kind of cool. I think it's nice.
It's kind of cool that they can cover up their face.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, by the way, it's just going to be in the settings. And it's kind of like your changed character.
It's just like
character.
A drop down.
Yeah. There's now a helmet. It's equivalent to, like, when you change your character. Mm-hmm. It's one of those drop downs. It's not going to be on your helmet or anything.
Fran, you had a theory about this update. You think it's going to hit any second.
Well, no. So what I was saying before we got started, I just noticed that with the update, they talked a lot about they're sort of like, it's finished, but we got to figure out when we're going to launch it. Meaning they weren't like saying next week.
Yeah.
So I was like, are they trying to get it out sooner? Because, I mean, House of Wolves is approaching. Mm-hmm. Or are they just not sure they're going to make next week? I mean, Jake, what do you think in terms of the update? Do you think it'll just come up on Tuesday like normal and they just weren't sure? Do you think it could release like middle of the week or on a Thursday? Or?
I agree with you. I think it's coming soon because they do a good job every time of hinting towards it and then it just drops, right? Like they never like give a time or whatever. But I'd rather them have it perfected before they drop it. So, I mean, it could drop on Tuesday, but I don't think it's going to drop on Tuesday because they haven't given us the time. So, and that's kind of early, like that's kind of close to now. So I would think that they would have said something, but you never know.
Yeah, and they like to be mysterious, but it's just sort of the way it was put out. Like they, because remember, some of the updates have been like, it's coming next week. Very clear. This one, less so, you know, and they said they finished it. And that was where I heard sort of the conflicting language, right? We're done. Just got to figure out when to launch it, which sure, there's a few implementation things, but I think it's also having to do with House of Wolves personally and like the rollout of other things maybe.
Well, they don't want to roll it out right before House of Wolves and then ruin stuff.
That's right.
And then have to fix it all.
That's right.
I think they're going to launch it a month before House of Wolves hits, whenever that is.
April 19th.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's what I think.
I think it's the week after that, but I think it's going to be late May. Mm-hmm. Or sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I've been saying. Yeah. I just was guessing May 19th. Mm-hmm.
For the launch.
Because it would be the 19th or 26th, but that 19th, why not?
We'll see. Jake, when do you think House of Wolves is hitting?
Well, if I know he's been stopped, but the guy on Reddit, Mega Man or whatever, I think he data mined and said that it was the 19th. So he's usually right about stuff.
Really?
So that's where I think it's going to drop just because he
did
said
he say
so.
That?
Or
that.
They could be trolling him again.
Well, yeah, maybe. Sure. Maybe.
So actually, that was an old Reddit post, right?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Bungie actually came out and said that data was placeholder. Like, they actually responded to his leak.
Yeah, they have, but
hey,
I mean,
keep in mind this data's placeholder, and then they started fixing it.
Yeah.
Because he was getting, like, I'm glad that he doesn't have the Zer info anymore, because it makes Fridays a little bit exciting.
Yeah.
Well, now that I have everything, a little less.
That's Zer's fault, not his, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I mean, it's interesting. I didn't even know that, by the way. The reason I chose that date is, well, one, I've just been in the industry forever, and I was just putting on my hat of, like, release dates. I'm like, they got to do it before E3.
Yeah.
You know, and end of May, I was very confident on. And then they've been talking about this update for a long time, and I knew that there's got to be at least, like, a month in between this update and House of Wolves.
Yeah.
So I was just putting that hat on, and so whatever the case, it just so happens that it's the date that he chose, but it kind of – I still believe there's a very likely date, and I think you're right, Destin. It might just be the week after. I think if I had to judge, we're like probably 80% accurate it's going to be the 19th or 26th. But now I'm going to regret putting a number on it. But whatever. You know, it's just a guess.
Okay. Well, moving on. I did mention that we had a contest last week.
Yeah.
And I believe congratulations are in order for Tyler Meister. He did the Nexus in under 4 minutes.
Wow.
You're crushing it, Guardian.
He did it in 3 minutes, 56 seconds. And I think he did this.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 3 minutes and 56 seconds. And that's because it was a nightfall at the
time. Oh, it had a burn.
Yeah. Somebody had 4:32. Nathan had 4:32. And a bunch of people had 11 minutes, but sub 4 minutes, that is absolutely crazy.
Is Invigorate going to get in on this, Jake?
Yeah.
Ooh, well, you guys, maybe you have a new challenge this week. I don't know.
Speaking of challenges.
You could break his record and his heart and beat the three.
Speaking of challenges, we actually got another one from the same guy who sent the crazy Crota challenge.
Really? What's this guy's name again?
Brian.
Brian.
So Brian's the guy who keeps sending in the crazy challenges. He says, congrats to you guys for completing it. And here is his challenge. A vault of glass run on hard or normal. You can't switch players. Wherever you start with must end with you.
Slow down.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's a lot to get through. Vault of Glass, normal or hard.
Okay.
No rockets. Only exotics allowed are No Land Beyond, Invective, Necrochasm, Pocket Infinity, Fourth Horseman, Last Word, Bad Juju, Might of Multitool, and Super Good Advice.
Those are not allowed?
Those are the only ones allowed.
Oh, okay.
So no Galahorn. That means no Galahorn.
I don't use Galahorn in there anyway. Okay.
No legendary, rare, uncommon, or common allowed.
What?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Can only use exotic weapons. You can only use exotic weapons.
Oh, only use. Oh, like, you can have them equipped, but you can only be firing one at a time.
Yeah.
Okay.
No weapon switching. Okay. And then he's the one who...
So you can only use one weapon at a time.
Yeah.
They have to be exotics, of which are... Let's just go through that list one more time.
Okay. Here, let's go through it again. So it is No Land Beyond, Invective, Necrochasm, Pocket Infinity, Fourth Horseman, Last Word, Bad Juju, Might of Multitool, and Super Good Advice.
Okay. Interesting.
And now what he's doing there is making you specialize.
Yeah.
You know, so like Super Good Advice, you want him to get teleported in to handle oracles.
Yep.
You know, at the end. So now per section, vault entrance, vehicle kills only, no guns or supers or melee or grenades allowed. And he didn't want to share this, but the hint is that you can go get vehicles, you can go get those sparrows that can shoot in this area
and
then get into the entrance. So that's the hint he didn't want me to give you,
Venus.
But I'm like, if you don't tell them, nobody's going
to
do this.
You should have told them. They would have found it, but whatever. Now it'll speed up the chances of people beating this.
Vault confluxes, you can only kill Minotaurs and Praetorians with supers. Vault oracles can only kill Minotaurs and Praetorians with supers, can only kill oracles and Minotaurs and Praetorians. Everything else must remain alive, but can be killed by splash damage of a super, et cetera, et cetera.
So when you're defending complexes, you have to all be using super.
Yeah, oracles can die by weapons, though, so you can shoot the oracles with weapons. But the minotaurs and stuff only use the things.
Wow, well, that's interesting.
Vault Templar, can't let them teleport, can only kill minotaurs, praetorians with supers. Gorgon's Maze, must kill one Gorgon. Remember the weapons rule, though.
Oh, no.
You can't use Gally. Nah, that's fine. I think that's very doable.
The jumping puzzle.
I already
solved can't use the blocks.
Can't. Oh, that's fine too. Well, as a warlock, that's nice. I don't know that everybody. Yeah, everybody can do it in a certain way.
Yeah, everybody can do it by jumping across.
So it was so easy as a warlock.
Yeah. Gatekeepers can only kill Praetorians with supers. This includes the ones after you have both relics. Oh man, so you have to drop the relic, kill him with a super. Oh wow. Must finish off gatekeepers with melee attacks. Gatekeepers may be damaged by weapons, but finishing blow must be melee. Okay. And then Atheon, same thing. Minotaurs, Praetorians with supers can only damage Atheon with supers. Must take dance party screenshot with Atheon, then kill him in the same round.
What?
All six guardians must be in screenshot.
That's pretty funny.
Optional hint. While you must do all this with the same six players, I never said anything about switching characters. Each of these can be done a lot easier with different classes.
Right. And just
no one's
going to
do that.
That's what you said on the last one.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, well, one, we'll post this in the Facebook group, right?
Sure.
We should do that.
Yeah.
So you get a clear message there. And then the super from the relic is a super, right?
Yeah.
So you can use that.
Yeah.
Just to clarify that. And then that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. It's clear that he tests some of this stuff.
Yeah.
His name is just Brian? There's no username?
Brian. No, he just goes by Brian. He emails me these crazy challenges.
Is it
and I'm like,
is
sure.
It Brian at bungee.net or something?
No.
Or
no.
Just kidding.
That's it. We have one shout out. We got to get through a few more community things. Wrath of the Sentinels. And then I want to show artwork because we had people send in artwork.
Oh,
please
cool.
keep sending me artwork. We're going to
feature it
at the end of episodes. Destiny@IGN.com. We'll feature him on the show. Jake, we're going to switch over from you to some art here.
I mean, we can still hear you and everything.
Yeah, we can still hear you, though.
Yeah, I'm still here, guys.
Hi, Jake.
So first up, we have this from Andy and Steven. It's just one of each of the classes, kind of hand-drawn and then,
it's nice.
Colored.
Very nice.
This one is from Andy Kinner. Very nice, Andy.
Very nice.
This is from Benny. It's a warlock sun singer that he drew.
Ooh, I like that.
This is from Brittany. She actually made this for her boyfriend. She doesn't know that this is going to be on the show. So this is
an ink
drawing.
Is her boyfriend watching? You just spoiled
it. He's the one who sent it in.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Brittany
cool.
Habelitz and Zachary Sutherland's Thorn.
I like that. That's nice. So yeah, simple.
You know. Very nice job. I could see that framed. That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly.
We got this from Chad Gursky. It's a minimalist design of the planets.
Yeah, very cool.
Here it is again. Oh, this one from Dolly. This is a framed version of the planets. I really like this this artwork. And here it is again without the frame.
Yeah, it's very nice. Now, that looked like it was using some original art assets, right?
It might be. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he recreated it.
Yeah, maybe just in Photoshop. It's nice.
It looks very cool. This is from James Keough. So he is actually doing this for one of the other Destiny podcasts, but he sent this one in just for us, and I pulled it off of the Facebook group.
It's an Agent of the Nine, 007 parody. I forgot somehow, just on audio.
Yeah,
it's 009 for Agent of the Nine.
Nice. This will be in the article, too. This is Jeremy. He sent in a drawing he did of a warlock. Jordan's hunter here.
Very nice.
Yeah, man. There's a hand drawing from Lee.
That's cool.
Mark sent in another one from Banana Guard.
This one's of a Syros. With a banana.
People were asking for. Here we go.
Wow, that's cool.
Matt Vincent did these amazing Samurai Jack style.
Yeah.
Pieces of artwork, or Genndy Tartakovsky.
Yeah, look at
this is his hunter, and he also did
a
titan.
That was nice.
And then my computer crashed. But he also did a titan, which was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And my computer's
I want to see
working.
The titan, Destin.
I can't. My computer broke, Fran.
Is Jake, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. You guys can still hear me, right?
It'll
okay,
it'll
there.
I think VLC broke.
It's fine.
Here, I'm gonna break the illusion and do it the sloppy way.
I think it's okay. It's, there's a TV way in the background of us. It's a very highly produced show here.
So here's this Titan.
Oh, yeah. I saw. Yeah, you sent me that before. Yeah, it was really nice.
It was really, really
I like
cool.
It. And then...
If
you just use Preview, you can kind of click through them, I think. But
And we'll show the other ones next week, seeing my computer's being dumb.
Suspense.
Oh, no.
But yeah, no, those are really nice. There's so many talented people out there, obviously. So it's great to have a forum to get that out there, too. So please send them in.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Send your artwork to destiny@ign.com. And Fran, we're over time.
Yeah.
I guess people got their wish, a longer show.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
Week.
I always mention that.
I want to thank you, Jake. Jake, do you have any last words for us?
Yes, okay. So Invigorate has a special message, guys.
Okay.
So Naomi Kyle... We are we're inviting you to join the clan, and we hope that you hear this and get in touch with us, because you're welcome. You're welcome to join.
That's awesome. An official invitation for Naomi Kyle to join Team Invigorate. I love it. I'll make sure she gets the message. I have a meeting with her in 90 minutes. So
what if she ends up being your MVP?
That's going to be awesome.
Jake, where can people find your stuff?
If you want to find me personally, again, twitter.com/ILoveNews with two I's.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding the clan, find them at invigorategaming.com. And if you want to check out our streams too, mlg.tv/invigorate.
Awesome. Well,
thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, Fran, for being on the show again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you is all I was saying.
Yeah. And that is it for our podcast. Until next time.
Guardians out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.